Welcome to Patent Pod Chat with noted inventor and patent attorney Chris Majorana. Each week, Chris answers your questions on patents, trademarks, and inventions. Now, here's Chris Majorana.
I heard that interferences were essentially over since the passage of the American Invents Act, or AIA.
Right. That is one thing I wanted to clarify from the last interview, is that interferences are related to patent applications that were filed before the conversion over to the American Invents Act. So that is that's a big distinction. After the American Invents Act, there's different laws that will apply.
So if I think my patent is in conflict with another patent, then what do I do?
Well, there's two scenarios. Either the applicant could request an interference, or the PTO could possibly on their own just declare an interference. But one thing to keep in mind is that normally one patent is issued as already issued as a patent, so there's allowed claims that are issued, while the second application is still in the pending status. So the patent office wants to intervene during that pending status of the second application to see if there's a conflict. So they normally wait until that pending application has allowable claims, and then the case gets flagged and then gets sent to the interference department to determine whether an interference should be declared or not. So this is an issue that's based on the claims, not necessarily the specification. So two specifications could be fairly similar, but have claims that are quite distinct and may not have an actual overlap. So that's a distinction that we wanted to make.
Do I need to copy another set of claims into my application to request an interference?
No, that's the way things worked a long time ago. In the old days, you used to literally take a competitor's claims or a competing application's claims and copy them verbatim into your application. And then you make the arguments at the patent office that should be the basis to declare an interference. So that doesn't happen anymore. The claims, when read reasonably, if they overlap, then that's all that you really need. So there was a conversion date on when we switched over to the American Invents Act. That was in 2013. So.
Okay, so how does the PTO administer the documents? I don't see anything in PAIR.
That's right, because the interference department is kind of a small portion of the patent office now. So they have what's called a patent interference portal, and each attorney who's going to work on an interference needs to get credentials to work within the portal. We do have those credentials, so that's not an issue.
Are there any trusted resources on interferences?
Sure. The main reference that everyone seems to read is this book called Patent Interference Handbook by this Jesse Rosenberg. It's sort of an older style document. He goes through a lot of different scenarios fairly quickly and uses a lot of slang and things. So he presents a big picture. He does keep it updated. There's not really a lot of details in there anymore. I have spoke with him a few times on interferences in general. Jesse Rosenberg's a nice guy. He does take calls, which I thought was kind of neat. Since he's, not really active in this anymore. He seems like at the verge of his retirement, but he was a nice guy.
Well, kind of changing gears here just a little bit. I heard these things can take a long time. Is that true?
They used to take a lot more time than they did now. A typical patent interference timeline is 2 years. You potentially could win in 1 year because there's two phases of the interference. So if you win after 1 year, you don't have to do the second year. But they have strict timelines that they want you to meet so that you can meet that timeline.
Okay, my last question then, Chris, is this the same as a derivation proceeding?
Very similar. A derivation is going to be after the AIA. It uses the same judges, the same concepts. They do twist the words around a little bit to adapt to the new law, but it's the same essential idea that two people have simultaneously invented the same thing, and there has to be some sort of way to determine who should get the patent rights. Now, that's not to be confused with someone actually stealing your invention. So, like, say you're talking in a coffee shop about your invention for some reason, and someone overheard it and went and filed on their own. That's a whole different scenario that is addressed a different way.
Thank you for listening to Patent Podchat with noted inventor and patent attorney Chris Majorana. Join us next time as Chris answers your questions on patents, trademarks, and inventions.